And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Going around the world, thanks to the brilliance, I guess you could say, of shortwave radio and the internet. And we're so glad you're with us today. Hey, we've got a great guest today. A great guest. Mike S. King. M.S. King. K-I-N-G. Now, that's a simple name to remember. It is sort of like Mars, almost. Easy to remember. M.S. King. You know, I call him Mike. I hope he doesn't mind. I'll ask him in a moment if that's okay. Mike S. King. And he's written a number of books. We have about three or four, I think, on our list right now. We have The Bad War. You might want to, you know, get that book. And I'll tell you more about The Bad War in a moment. But the book I'm looking at is a large format book, a very attractive cover. Got a lot of evil pictures on it about some men who are not the nicest men in the world. But it also has a Statue of Liberty and the Capitol building and, my goodness, a gravestone. And it's got America's name on it. Well, the name of this book is Killing America, a 100-year murder. And the subtitle says 40 historical wounds that Bill O'Reilly didn't write about. Now, Bill O'Reilly, well, I'll ask Mike King why he chose his name for this subtitle. But Bill O'Reilly has written several books, and he claims he's a historian. You and I both know him as a commentator on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News. But anyway, Killing America, a 100-year murder. You know, I got this book, and Mike was so kind to send me a copy, and I got it, and it's a book. It's not long. It's one that you can get through fairly easy. A lot of pictures in it, but it's worth the $9 that we ask of it. It's worth about $30 or $40, to be honest with you, because it's going to give you information that you need that is vital. It's a big format book. It's about twice as big as most books, but it's called Killing America, a 100-year murder. That means America has been murdered. Maybe we're in a dead country. Maybe we're in a country that is mortally wounded. Is that what Mike King is attempting to tell us? Well, he's got a lot of facts in this book. So let's get right to it. Mike King, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hello, Tex. Well, thank you. Thanks for the introduction. Good to be back with you. And yes, it is a very attractive book. I just mentioned, give credit to David Dees, who did the cover for me.
Oh, David Dees, he's a good man, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does nice work. I just tell him what I like, what I envision, and he puts it together.
Wow.
But yeah, it is a very short, powerful book. It's a booklet, really. You could almost say it's a pamphlet. And it's meant to give a skeletal outline, a crash course education. And if people want to get in deeper more, at least they'll know what issues to look at. But yeah, it's a quick read. You could probably read it start to finish in an hour, maybe a little more, hour and a half.
But it's
a crash course.
But this is real history. I mean, this is, when they finish this, they'll probably know more about history than they learned in an entire year of a high school or college.
Oh, yeah. I have packed a ton of information. It's really condensed. You know, I like to make the analogy to those juicers where you put in a ton of vegetables and it gives you a glass of all the important nutrients. All you gotta do is drink the small glass. So
there you go.
Everything in here is condensed, and it's a don't let the small size fool you. It is a ton of education in there, and it covers the last 100 years, actually 120 to be precise.
Well, it's subtitled 40 Historical Wounds. And so evidently these are wounds to America. Now, what condition is America in? They've suffered these wounds. We're going to talk about what you consider maybe the top 12 or 14 15 wounds. There's 40 in this book, so I do recommend people get it. But what condition is America in? Why did you write this book, Mike?
Well, I wrote this book because, my other books are more in-depth and detailed, but I just wanted something that would be ideal for the type of individual who really doesn't really understand what's going on today and what has gone on, and they could just kind of really get a very strong overview in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of an activist type of book in that I'm looking to reach people who can get them up to speed really quickly and really easily. So I felt the need. That's probably the main reason. Most books that cover 100 years of history, you're going to have to tackle them 1,000 pages over a course of many readings if you could stay awake. Mm-hmm. I just wanted something that could really kind of shock people into what has happened. And the cover itself is very intriguing. You see all these presidents from Teddy Roosevelt up until Obama laughing as the Statue of Liberty is mourning at the gravesite of America. And, that really is to give people an impression of, how this is all one killing that has taken place. It's like a slow poisoning of a victim that has taken place. So it's a wake up call if there's time left to wake up, that is.
Well, I'm looking at the cover and I'm looking at these men from Teddy Roosevelt. Let's see, who else? Woodrow Wilson, of course, FDR and Truman and Eisenhower, LBJ, right up to Obama. I guess you haven't had time to get to Trump yet, but he's only been in office 40 days. We'll make that the next edition, Mike. Hopefully not. He won't be one that's rendered a terrible historical wound. But look at these individuals, and I can think of the history of each one of them, and most of it is not very pleasant when you think of the terrible wounds that America has suffered.
And when you look at the nature of the wounds and the pattern, how each one builds on the next, that's what becomes unmistakable, is that this is a pattern. It's not a bunch of random errors. There's a definite continuum here, so it is not by accident, and which is why I don't call it just a killing. I subtitle it a murder, because it's deliberate.
That's a good point. So these sort of follow a pattern leading right up to Obama. And I wonder if, the story's not out on Trump yet, but I already see how much the opposition hates him. The globalist of the New World Order hates him. I can imagine how terrible it would be if instead of Trump, we had Hillary Clinton in. Man. She would be right in line with all these other people, wouldn't she?
From day one.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you.
Certainly would.
Oh.
Yeah. And the Wicked Witch evidently is not dead. There's a lot of news here in the New York, New Jersey area. She seems to be making preliminary waves for the run for the mayorship of New York City. And there's only one reason she would do such a thing, and that would be as a launching pad for yet another run at the presidency. So we'll keep an eye on the Wicked Witch.
Absolutely.
The Northeast.
Absolutely. Well, let's could we go over your book and maybe we could do this? Maybe we could select out. I know it's tough to do so. You've got a lot of great information here, but maybe the top 12 or 15. Well, let's just not necessarily in the order. I'm not asking you to rank, and maybe you could, but I'm not asking you to rank these historical wounds to America that are driving us into a world order of horror. But maybe we could look at some of them, because you've got them, wound number one, wound number two. Boy, it's really something. But could we do that and just sort of look at these wounds?
Yeah, sure. Some I feel were more damaging than others, and, they're all quite bad, and of course there's probably some that I missed, some that other people might say don't belong, but, by and large, these are pretty close to the 40 worst things that happened to America, in my judgment. But some are worse than others, so we'll focus on the top 12 to 15.
Okay, well, let's just go right into them then, and what do you think is the first wound maybe we ought to look at?
Okay. Well, I go back a little more than 100 years, actually, to 1896. That is when a Jewish immigrant named Adolf Oakes purchased the New York Times.
Mm.
Now, that was not a political move that did any direct damage, but it's something that had broader implications because that same family, the Oakes-Sulzberger family, has owned the New York Times to this day. It's just passed down to son, to grandson, great-grandson. There's only been six owners in the last 120 or some odd years. The Oakes-Sulzberger family, a left-wing Marxist-Zionist family, took the New York Times, which remains to this day what I call the lead attack fish of the piranha press. The Times is the leader, and is the misinformation and the lies and the omissions that they generate on a daily basis have impacted public opinion more so than any other news organization in American history. And of course, if you control public opinion, you could use that public opinion to shape government policy. So that was huge when leftist Jewish Marxist purchased the New York Times, 1896.
Well, you know, recently I was at the bookstore and they had a copy of the New York Times. I don't get it myself, but it's quoted all the time. You know, and he calls himself the paper of record you've got here? The paper of record, as if, you know, the paper. But I noticed, I saw that Trump was on the front page, some story. And then I looked and he was down in the middle of the page, front page. And then he was at the bottom. Three negative, all of them negative stories about Trump right on page one. And then I turned it and page two had Trump again. And then I turned to some other section.
Yeah.
And there was Trump, a negative story again. So these people can really do you damage by putting all these negative things in about you that are really unsubstantiated.
Right. And the power of the paper is that so many other news outlets will pick up on its stories through the wire. So it spreads like a virus, newspapers across the country as well as radio and TV. So it is like the Typhoid Mary of American journalism. And I have my website is tomatobubble.com, and then there's a paid feature for a separate part of the website called the Anti-New York Times. I track the Anti-New York Times on a daily basis. And there was one day a few weeks back where there were 31 negative pieces on Donald Trump throughout the entire issue.
31.
Front page, international page, letters. And I did a piece on that, and I closed it with a joke. And my joke was this, you know, the only thing left now is the sports section and the crossword puzzles that haven't gone anti. And would you believe the very next day in the sports section, there was a story about how there's a controversy because the quarterback, the head coach, and the owner of the New England Patriots, who went out to win the Super Bowl, were all pro-Trump. So,
it even affects the sports page.
Oh, well, there's nothing left but the crossword puzzles. So I'm waiting any day now for, you know, five-letter word for the devil. Starts with a T.
Oh, I'll tell you. Well, you know,
it's
so funny that they've been blasting Trump recently for accusing, which he correctly did, by the way, accusing Obama of wiretapping, you know, Trump Tower during the political campaign. And, of course, New York Times has been saying, oh, that's loony, that's absurd, that's crazy. But if you go back, I think it was January the 20th, they had a big story on it. In other words, they reported the wiretapping and talked about it being true. And so now, you know, a couple of months later, Trump reports it. They say, oh, what a big lie. I mean, they pretend that they didn't write about it in the first place.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's been going on for more than a century. So you can just imagine, you know, how many mistakes and missteps our government has been pressured into. Because the press creates the public perception. So that is a tremendous amount of damage. One family.
One newspaper. Now, who owns the New York Times now?
It's still the Sulzberger family, or they own, and it's a public company, but they own the majority of the stock, and they own all the voting shares. So, you know, some people erroneously believe that the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim purchased the Times. No, he's only got 16% of the stock, and he has zero voting privilege. So, it is the Sulzberger Oaks family completely.
I see. Now, back during the, I remember during World War II, No, before World War II, in the 30s and so forth, maybe in the 20s, a guy named Walter Duranty was sent as a newsman to Soviet Russia, and he talked about how wonderful, you know, Lenin and Stalin were. And they say on the pages,
yes, he did.
The New York Times, that Duranty, he was like he was blind over there, didn't see all those people being murdered and taken away. But evidently Duranty got, I think he got even a Nobel Peace Prize or some kind of thing.
Not a Pulitzer Prize, but yeah, I read some of those pieces because it kills me to pay $18 to the New York Slimes, but it gives me access to their archives. They've got the last 120 years of stories on PDF. It's very highly informative, educational. But I've read some of those Duranty pieces. It is just shameless.
Boy,
it could have been written by Stalin himself. And then later on, there was another Times big shot journalist, Herb Matthews, who did the same cover up for Castro.
Wow.
Castro is not a communist. He's a reformer. So the fake news was as bad then as it is today. The only difference is, I think, because people were a little bit less brainwashed, that they would often throw in many gems of truth that I've been able to pick out. Whereas today, I don't think you find any real truth at all. Well, I shouldn't say that, because they did have that front page story about Trump Tower was, you know, tapped. So, you know, you find these gems in there, but it's always been a dishonest enemy of the people. And it's gotten progressively worse, because I think they're able to get away with more today.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. They were, say, 70, 80 years ago, because there was still some competition back then to keep them honest. Now the entire press is left-wing communist.
Okay, now what's another wound we ought to look at here?
All right, well, let's move up a few more years to 1901. That would be the assassination of President William McKinley.
Mm.
He was shot point blank by a Red, an anarchist. And it's funny, you don't hear about this too much anymore in the history books. They talk about his assassination and a lone gunman, but the guy was an anarchist communist. And the reason that is so significant in history text is because it catapulted Theodore Roosevelt, who had been forced upon McKinley as a vice president, much the same way Pence has been forced on Trump, by the way. But it made Theodore Roosevelt the president. So it's not so much what the assassination itself did, the avenues that it opened up. In making Theodore Roosevelt the president, you had your really first totally globalist-owned president. And he was the one who set in motion the establishment of the Federal Reserve Bank. And the first income tax. It didn't happen under his presidency. It happened under the presidency of Woodrow Wilson. But it was Theodore Roosevelt who established the National Monetary Commission, out of which the Federal Reserve came about. And we know how destructive the Fed was. So it kind of ties into two more of my wounds: the income tax of 1913 and the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. They both passed in the same year because it's related. Because the Fed gave the government the ability to run up enormous debts. So now you needed human collateral in the form of the income tax. So the two go together. And, you know, most basic students of the New World Order and all these territorial machinations, you know, they understand that Woodrow Wilson passed these, but it would not have happened. Theodore Roosevelt set it up, the National Monetary Commission, and that only happened because McKinley was murdered. So that's a significant event, because it really gave the globalists their first foothold in the White House.
I'm looking at your page 9 of your book, The Assassination of William McKinley, and you say right at the beginning, on September 6th, 1901, President McKinley is shot at close range by a Red communist anarchist named Leon Czolgosz. McKinley dies 1 week later. You know, I've read many history books, and they don't tell us much about who this guy was who shot him or why. It's almost like he's a lone nut, they claim. But the fact that he's a communist is in a Red is totally omitted. It's like he's just some anarchist. In fact, I remember when I was in high school, I read about this. I kept wondering, what is an anarchist? Why would an anarchist kill somebody? But an anarchist actually does have political ideology. You mentioned here, he's a communist. And in 1901, the communists sought to take over the world. I mean, that's when the genocide of Armenia was promoted by the Young Turks, who were crypto Jews in Turkey. That's when, you know, they began to militate for the Soviet oppression and the Soviet Union. I mean, that was right after the World Zionist Congress. Wasn't that just 2 or 3 years before that?
Yeah, all around that time, that turn of the century, you had the World Zionist Congress were being set up. You had the first attempt to overthrow the Russian Tsar by the communists. Although it was not successful, many people were killed, and the government was destabilized, and then they came back 12 years later to finish the job. So it was a point in time where the Reds, who, as you all know, work for the New World Order, were really beginning to make some bold moves to overthrow governments, and
this
served that purpose, because now you kill McKinley and you bring in this left-wing progressive Republican, Theodore.
Well, you mentioned that McKinley was conservative.
Yes.
And then you mentioned that this Zolgots was a devotee of Emma Goldman, who praised the divorce. She was a European. She was a monster, wasn't she?
She was. Red Emma, they used to call her. And very inflammatory, based out of New York City. But she was a Jewish communist from Europe. And, she applauded the killing of McKinley. I mean, the nation was really shocked. It was a horrible thing. He was, a very popular president. He was pro-gold standard. He tried very hard not to keep us out of the Spanish-American War, but it was his own in Congress and Senate which kind of forced us into that. But he didn't want that war. So, I guess you could compare McKinley more or less to someone like Ron Paul, when he was president. Which was nice. So they had to get rid of him. So it's like you got rid of Ron Paul and you put, Barack Obama in there in the form of Teddy Roosevelt, who was really a radical big government type.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt, I had always read he was a big hero. I guess I was just reading the pro-communist textbooks. But Teddy Roosevelt is pictured as a great hero. But he never was very popular among the American people. He was like a third party or something like that. He never really did much on his own, did he? Like here, he became president after McKinley was assassinated.
Yeah, he would never have gotten elected on his own. They had to insert him. Very conveniently, McKinley's vice president just died at a young age. I think he was like 52. I speculate that maybe he might have been poisoned. That was Barrett Obart. And then they forced this phony war hero, Theodore Roosevelt. He was a Secretary of the Navy, and then he signed up to go to Cuba, the Rough Riders. And that whole story was invented. He didn't lead any charge. We never really saw combat. But they created this, they turned him into a war hero, and then they made him governor of their state. And this all happened, like one after the other. By the way, Theodore Roosevelt was Naval Secretary. He was the one who set up the USS Maine to sail to Havana Harbor. And got blown up. Remember Maine, hell, it's Spain. So that was an early false flag attack. So he was part of that conspiracy that murdered 260 American sailors in order to get us into the Spanish-American War, the true purpose of which was to take the Philippines and thus project American power, globalist power, into the Pacific. So yeah, he's a really bad character. And he was owned by Jacob Schiff. By the way.
I see. Well, that Philippine War that began there in Cuba when Teddy Roosevelt went in with the so-called Rough Riders. I read some stories, and you get very little on it in history of the U.S. war in the Philippines. But boy, I mean, that was vicious, and there were all kind of atrocities committed by the American forces against the Filipinos.
Yeah, that was Teddy Roosevelt's war.
Wow.
Essentially, in order to take the Philippines from Spain, they kind of riled up Philippine nationalism and said, hey, we'll get rid of the Spain, and then you guys will have your own country. But that was all a lie. The United States wanted control of the Philippines. That's why they speak English, by the way, today in the Philippines. They used to speak Spanish. But that was a brutal 8-year war, 7-8-year war. We lost 5,000 men, believe it or not. You never hear
5,000.
5,000 Americans.
No, you really don't hear about that war. But, boy, and what were we doing all the way over to Asia, fighting in the Philippines? That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was a method to it, a method to the madness. That was an early chess move to begin to project power into the Pacific, and that kind of all rolled into Franklin Roosevelt using the Chinese to make war against Japan and Pearl Harbor. So it was all a chess move. We had to get a presence out in the Pacific. So that was the real purpose of the Spanish-American War. And he played a big role in bringing that about when he was Naval Secretary. And then when he was president, he was the one who administered that brutal genocidal war against the Philippines people.
Well, now, okay, let's go to another wound.
Okay.
You got another.
I covered how, that ultimately led to the income tax and the Federal Reserve Act. And, tax season's coming up. We all know just how oppressive our income tax system is. And then you have the Federal Reserve that puts our money out of the air and makes us pay interest on it. So that's all related. But let's jump ahead to the Great Depression. That was a mortal wound, although we ultimately recovered economically after many years. The reason I feel this was a permanent wound is because it permanently altered the American way of thinking. It's like the American people before that, the idea of getting a handout from the government was just foreign to them, totally communistic. No one would even imagine such a thing. But what the Depression did, Tex, is it brought people to their knees. And it was deliberately engineered, by the way. There's a whole story there by the Federal Reserve. You bring people to their knees and then, you want to eat. They were forced to turn to the government. And it was that moment in time forward, more and more American people began to look at the state not as a servant of the people that's there to protect our liberties and guard the constitutional republic, but rather as our daddy. And that was the damage done by the Depression and the new deal, which goes hand in hand with it. So it was a very dangerous psychological precedent is what it did. And America's never been the same. Your average American today, even the ones who call themselves conservative, their first impulse is to look to the government for everything. And, FDR and his New Deal did that to us. And, we're still suffering to this day because of it.
It's interesting to me, Mike, that FDR, he basically was communist. And he was a big friend of Joseph Stalin. And he bailed Russia out with all the American aid in World War II. And here he is basically a communist, and yet people just, the press, the leftist press in America adore this guy. And it's interesting that I remember hearing Newt Gingrich talk about his greatest role model for president, the greatest president of all was Franklin Roosevelt. This is Newt Gingrich, who's supposed to be a conservative, but is as, he's as communist as you can get. Call it the New World Order and all that. But, Americans don't seem to get, they don't understand. These people are chameleons, aren't they?
They don't give a darn about the American people. And it's always been like this with the left. And they've been duping people pretty much since the days of the French Revolution when the left would cry out, liberty, fraternity, equality. And Marx with his, workers of the world unite. You have only to lose your chains and New Deal. It never ends. It's always for the people, for the downtrodden. But they don't care about the people. It's all, what's that word that you use? It's shtick is the word. It's the routine. Mm. And people fall for it every time. And people need to understand that the left, the so-called liberals, the Democrats, they do not care. This is, they play on the heartstrings. They do not care about the poor. They do not care about the blacks. They do not care about the poor downtrodden immigrants. They don't care about the women. They don't care about the union worker. But it gets them a lot of votes. And, people who vote Democratic, millions and millions of otherwise good people, really believe the Democrat Party is the party that cares about the little guy. But they don't. It's all about power. And that's how the devil operates. He appeals to your good instincts in order to get their guard down and let them in the door.
That is really true. Well, we're gonna take a break here, Mike. When we come back, we'll have a lot more wounds. Very interesting book, and I hope you'll get it, folks. My guest today is M.S. King. The book we're talking about is Killing America, a 100-Year Murder. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, this is Tex Mars again, And, you know, we're talking about the book Killing America, a 100-year murder. Only $9. It's about 50 pages long. But it's twice as long because it's twice the size. Okay? And it's only $9. I want you to have it because it's so interesting. And I learned a lot of things in it myself that I had no idea. It's got one of the wounds is number 23, feminism, the women's liberation movement. Wow. A wound 24 is the Civil Rights Act. A wound 30, the Environmental Protection Agency. That's sure been in the news a lot. Hey, how about wound 29? The hippies. Oh, yes, the old hippies. Then there's the rise of the neoconservatives. Boy, that's fascinating. And then a wound number 34. This is sort of interesting. This is all about MTV and the music industry. And there's a picture there of, everybody's favorite girlfriend, Miley Cyrus. I think you'll want to get that. And then the 9/11 attack, Obamacare, that's certainly in the news now. There's so much. I mean, there's incredible stuff in this book. And, you know, I like it because I trust Mike King. I know he's a good man, good heart, and a terrific historian. And so these are the things that he's chosen out. He's got all these wounds to America. And it's interesting to see the things that he's chosen. You know, if I've got a list of 40 historical wounds to America, it'd probably be a little bit different. But maybe Mike's are better. So that's the reason I read it with great interest. Again, I want you to order this book, and you'll enjoy it. It's called Killing America, 100-Year Murder, 40 Historical Wounds that Bill O'Reilly did not write about. Okay. So please get this book. Just $9 and $5 shipping and handling. Total of $14. And send $14 in a check or a money order or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay? Now we have another book by Mike King entitled The Bad War. You know, Tom Brokaw, the newsman, wrote a book a few years ago called The Good War. You see, all of the Jews believed the World War II was a good war. Now, I'm no apologist for Adolf Hitler and Mussolini, but, you know, was that really a good war? Can any war be good? Good for who? Well, Tom Brokaw is Jew, and so that gives you a little bit of hint. But The Bad War is very interesting. Pat Buchanan, of course, wrote a book, and he says maybe we should have fought on the side of Hitler. Wow. Well, you'll want to know what Mike S. King thinks about that. And his book, The Bad War, you may like it better than Pat Buchanan's because it's got all these pictures in it. And it leads you right to a conclusion that it was not a good war at all. It was a bad war. But the things that Mike talks about in this book, I mean, it's fascinating book, The Bad War. I hope you'll get it. Jerry, how much is that book? $25, but it's a big book. It's large format, that twice as big as a regular book, 246 pages, $25, add $5 shipping and handling again, and a total of $30. Ask for The Bad War. Wow. By the way, Mike King has other things on his website, tomatobubble.com. That's sort of interesting, isn't it? Tomatobubble.com. But these two books, Killing America, 100-Year Murder, and The Bad War, you'll want them. Now, you can get them on our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can go there and use your charge card or your PayPal, get these books. Or you can, phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or they're right to us, of course. Well, 1708 Patterson Road. And, you know, if you've been listening to this program any length of time, I give that same number, same address out every week. And I have been doing so for, I don't know, 25 years or so. We've been right here in Austin, Texas. We're down at the end of a street. And when you turn on Patterson Road, you go all the way down, just run right into us. Just run right into us. Well, don't run right into us, but I mean, stop before you hit us. But we have a lot of folks visit us down here. We're always glad for them to visit us. And we don't have a lot of time, but we love you a lot. We'll hug your neck and take you around and maybe give you a free book or two. Who knows what we'll do. But we're pretty busy here. And everybody works hard, and they love their job. We love you. We love it when you write to us and when you call us. Again, we're very busy, but we always will appreciate you. You'll never get you'll never get sloughed off here. You'll never have some employee give you a bum's rush. You'll have people who love you and care for you. That's what we do here. And that's why we appreciate you so much. We're all a team together finding out the truth. Have you noticed, folks? I don't have anybody on my radio program that I don't like. I just don't. You know, I'm just old enough to be cranky. And I don't get people on this program that aren't good people. That aren't motivated to help America, to help the life of Christians. And that's what we're all about here at Power of Prophecy. By the way, when you come to see us, you go in the front door and then you look immediately behind, there's a saying about the truth. The truth. It'll make you free. Jesus Christ said so. And there's a big old plaque on the wall about that. That's one of the greatest sayings Jesus made. But he made many, of course. But that's a good one. We just put it on the wall for everybody to see. Okay, let's go back to our regular program now. Mike King is my guest for his book, Killing America, 100-Year Murder. Hey, by the way, Mike, welcome back.
Okay, Tex. Good to be back.
You know, your book, Bad War, which I highly recommend, evidently it's been, I mean, I understand that Amazon took it off their list. Now, that's amazing. They've got all kind of book by sex perverts and pedophiles, and they've got millions of books. But they took the time to ban your book? What's going on?
It was holocausted, yes. Well, what happened is for a number of years, Jewish groups have been pressuring Amazon to remove books that deny the Holocaust. And I don't spend a whole lot of time in the Bad War talking about that issue, but there's a few very strong pages where I raise questions about it. Bezos of Amazon had resisted this for a number of years. But just 2 weeks ago, Bob Yashem, the Holocaust Museum in Israel, affiliated with the Israeli government, made another request to Bezos. So this is the first time that Israel as a state got involved. And evidently, Bezos caved, and a whole bunch of books dealing with historical revisionism, even though that wasn't the main topic of my book, but they were taken down. And it's a pity, because it was doing very well for me. But that's, what do they call that? Free speech or academic freedom that they're always talking about?
Well,
they're very selective in the application of that standard, as you said. If you want, pornography, pedophilia, communism, subversion, that's protected. But, you write the truth about a historical event that powerful people don't want to be known. That alone is a testimony, Tex.
Well, that's
the
true.
Truth of what I wrote in the Bad War, that in and of itself.
Well, evidently, they don't want people to know it was a bad war. I mean, I guess.
No, they sure don't, because the modern world grew out of that war in so many ways. So they have to preserve that foundational lie, which I list as wound number 14, by the way, in Killing America, the 100-year murder.
Mm. Well, folks, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully right now. We're going to, before I ask Mike King any more questions, this book, Bad War, not the book we're talking about today, but a great book that we have on our list that we're offering for $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, called The Bad War. Got hundreds of pictures in it. It's a tremendous historical book. And Amazon has millions of books. They claim to be a company, the largest in the world. If you're not on Amazon, it really hurts your sales. And yet they now have taken off the bad war from their list. They don't, because of Jewish pressure. It shows how much power the Jews have. And how about that? I mean, I suspect you could probably get Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. I haven't been on there, but I'm pretty sure you can. But think about that. I mean, you can, incredible, horrible books, books that you just get angry about little children being raped and tortured and horribly mangled. I mean, just horrible books. And they list them all, millions of terrible books. But bad war, they chose to take off their list. Now, listen, I want you to know that yesterday we received notice that our book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, also was removed. Yeah, we got an email from Amazon, and they said that it did not meet their content guidelines. Their content guidelines. Now, obviously, the subtitle of my book made it impossible, I guess you could say, for Amazon.com. Now, the World Zionist Congress had complained about the sinister anti-Semite Tex Mars. Here's the subtitle of my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. It's subtitled, The Rabbi's Secret Plan for Satan to Crush Their Enemies and Vault the Jews to Global Dominion. Well, that's enough to take it off their list, right? Sure, they banned this book. Now, here's how you can help me. You can write to Amazon.com, but I hope you'll do more than that. I hope you'll order this book yourself. Just find out, order The Bad War and Holy Serpent of the Jews. Find out why they don't want these two books on their list. Why they would prefer a book by some notorious murderer or rapist to these books. And yet my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, what it does is quote the rabbis. I quote the rabbis. It's the rabbis' plan, not mine. I'm quoting the rabbis. I also quote the Talmud, the Kabbalah. That's their holy books, their most sacred holy books. I quote them. But you see, they don't care about the First Amendment. They don't care about free speech. They're protecting the Jews. And that's what they've done to Mike King's book, Bad War. Now, evidently, they've got other books, too. This is a big Jeff Bezos, who's the chairman of the board there. I mean, just totally dishonest, hypocritical about what they're doing. But you know what? I'm not worried at all about it. I think God is going to send my book out to even more people. And I think more people will want to know what are the rabbis saying? What is the rabbi's secret plan? I quote the rabbis. That's why they don't want my book out there. And what Mike King does is give you the historical data, the documentation, that there's a lot of things about World War II that we haven't been told. Now, you know, we're seeing this with the left-wing news, who Donald Trump accurately said is America's enemy. It's the enemy of America. And I think Amazon is too. Think about that, folks. They won't allow a book that talks honestly about World War II by Mike King. They won't allow this book that gives you a truthful description of what the Jews are saying. But the Jews that I quote in my book, they have their books at Amazon. So, you know, they have the books that, at Amazon that I quote, but they don't want my book because I put it all together. I'm the first man to ever put together the Holy Serpent of the Jews. They don't want you to know the Jews worship the serpent. They don't want you to know that one of the greatest Jewish experts in the world, Israel Shahak, professor at Hebrew University, he said the Jews, many of them actually pray to Satan. That's what Israel Shahak said. Wow. That's what he said. One of the greatest historians and authorities in Israel. I mean, this guy, Israel Shahak said it, but I quote him and they, you know, they don't want my book out there. Well, who cares? I care. because I want you to know the truth. That's the only reason I care. Okay, well, Mike, I'm sorry to take your precious time on a rant like that, but I think it sort of deserved it. What do you think?
It was a good rant. It's very therapeutic.
Okay. Well, let's get some more therapy going then here. How about back to your book again, and let's talk about some more wounds here. What's the next
one? Okay. Well, next significant one I'd like to mention. Let's move ahead to wound number 13, 1933. This was FDR's Social Security pyramid scheme. And that's what it is. It is a pyramid scheme. It's the number one item on the budget today. And, they're already making drastic cuts because it's not sustainable. You know, in the early years, you had 16 workers for one beneficiary. And that number went steadily down. Now it's like 2 to 1. You know, the tragedy of it is, if you were going to implement something like that, let's put aside the question of whether or not that's the state's business to get into the retirement business. But let's say you're okay with the government doing that. Can you imagine, Tex, a lifetime of earnings? We pay, I think, 7% tax. Social Security, and also there's a 1% in there for Medicare. That 7% of your salary, plus your employer is required to match another 7%, which in essence is coming out of your own pay. So you're really paying 14% of your lifetime earnings. Imagine if that money was invested intelligently in a combination of things ranging from whatever, money markets, stocks, gold, the same way you would manage a private portfolio, and then as you get older, you put it into less risky ventures. Every single American worker, and it doesn't matter if you made, you know, very low wages all your life, you should have at least $1 million cold hard cash by the time you're 65, and in most cases, a couple million, if that had been done. In essence, we have been robbed of that. There's no reason why an elderly person who has worked nearly half a century cannot accumulate the amount of wealth he needs to live the rest of his life. And the reason we don't have that is because we've been robbed by this Social Security pyramid scheme, which is nothing but an income tax. The money goes into a general fund and it goes out. There is no lockbox. There's no Social Security fund. It's all smoke and mirrors. But had it been done in the way that I suggested, we could all have several millions of dollars by now, by the time, you know, you get set to retire. But as it stands, we have how many elderly people now forced to crawl to the government for this pittance, which doesn't even pay rent anymore?
You know, that people need to think about that. Over 14% of everything, you know, the employer and your contributions. They call it a contribution, you know. But, man.
Yeah, like you're going to church.
Yeah, exactly. Well, think about that. All your life, you have to pay this in. And if you got some private for, you know, bought gold or some stocks or what, I mean, we would all be rich. And yet we're so thankful for this little pittance that Social Security pays us. It's sort of pitiful, isn't it?
It's horrible. And if you dared to pull something like that in the private sector, you would go to jail. I mean, it was that famous Jewish investor, Bernie Madoff. He's in jail. He ran a pyramid scheme. And he once remarked, he says, why are they putting me in jail for it? Our whole banking system is based on its principle.
It really is. Boy, we could talk about the Fed Reserve for a long time. Well, okay, what's next? I agree with the Social Security. Although I'm glad for it. In other words, now that I've been forced to pay in all these years, the least they could do is give me back part of it. Don't you agree? I mean, they can't.
Of course, you've paid into it, but now the tragedy is, where is that money coming from? It's coming from a young worker, a young working couple who's already struggling, and they're losing 14% of their pay. So they've turned us into each other's oppressor by necessity.
That's true.
It's really horrible.
Okay, so what's...
But of course, the next big wound, which you touched upon already, and this may be the biggest of all, is wound number 14, World War II, which is a subject so vast, I don't know how adequately I can cover it, but let me just say this. Out of that horrible, unjustified war that we should never have fought, you know, the whole modern world took shape. So many destructive institutions and policies grew out of the aftermath of that war. the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, NATO, the European Union, the CIA, the State of Israel, the partition of the two Koreas. It was just horrible. It altered the course of history, and it was the ultimate victory for the globalists because they succeeded in crushing nationalist Germany, nationalist Italy, some of the nationalist movements that were still pro-sovereignty all throughout Europe. It totally crushed that forever. So that's why they call it the good war, the inside joke. It was good for them, you know. Horrible, horrible, but definitely get a hold of the bad war to get in more depth. There's just no way I can explain the whole thing.
It's interesting to me, but, Mike. It says, I read, the official history says that basically that Germany invaded Poland, and that kicked off World War II. But they don't tell you that at the very same time, the Soviet Union also invaded Poland. So the Soviet Union invaded it from the east, and the Germany invaded it from the west. So both these powers invaded, and each of them took half of Poland for themselves. But we only went to war against Germany, or at least Europe did.
Yeah, and I would also like to add to that Poland was set up by Britain and France and from behind the scenes FDR to provoke Germany. It's a whole story there. There's a whole 20-year history leading up to that between Poland and Germany. But, you know, Poland was the aggressor, truth be told. And not only did Stalin go into Poland, during the same period of time, he invaded five other countries, six in all, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Finland, Romania, and the West was silent, knowing that the greatest butcher of all time was on the roll. So what a hypocrisy that was.
You begin this section saying, what happened? As Germany continues to plead for peace, in parentheses, it's true. Now, that's a shocker to other people because, I mean, from what you read in the controlled press, they tell you that Germany had planned a world war and wanted the world domination, but you're saying they continued to plead for peace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the evidence is there in the bad war, and if anyone doubts what I'm saying, I think the ultimate verification of the veracity of the bad war is the fact that it was removed under intense pressure. But yes, Hitler pleaded for peace and talks before the war, during the war, even at a point when he had actually won the war, was in total control. The Soviet Union was not in. He made peace with France. The United States was not in. And he's dropping leaflets over London trying to circumvent the British press, pleading with the British people for peace talks. It was flyers dropped over London. I mean, it's incredible the lengths he went to say, listen, I don't want this war. Let's stop. Let's just stop. I just want to go put all my troops back and go home. But the fix was in to take him down because Hitler had liberated Germany from the clutches of the New World Order. And now, that's basically the story of the war in a nutshell.
Now, evidently, when the British and the French lost, the British were all there down on the beach. They couldn't get out. And Hitler could have crushed them, but his generals were shocked when Hitler stopped, said, you know, let them go back to Britain. I'm not going to destroy them because I want peace. They were actually shocked. But this is something we're never told, too. So that was a great peace offering by Hitler, but it was covered up by the British. They didn't want their own people to know that Hitler had wanted peace.
No, and what they did instead is they mass-produced gas masks, and they handed them out to every British citizen. And they plastered propaganda posters all over London. Always carry your gas mask because Hitler may strike. It's just ridiculous. Some of the most insulting to the intelligence propaganda imaginable. And instead of dropping gas, Hitler's dropping leaflets pleading for peace. It's just, it's true. And it's
it makes me think about how the United States, you know, Miss Rice, Condoleezza Rice, George W. Bush, how they all told America, you know, I mean, almost with tears in his eyes, George W. told us there's going to be nuclear bombs all over America, you know, from Iraq.
Yeah.
They've got weapons of mass destruction, and Americans believed it. I suspect that the majority of Americans today believe that Saddam Hussein in Iraq actually pulled off 9-1-1 when they had nothing to do with it. Just now, by the way, you've got 9-1-1 in here. Maybe we could. Is that one of the ones you've chosen as one of the worst?
Oh, yeah. That's number 35, definitely. You know, much like World War II, it was a history-altering event which, you know, I mean, again, well, how long have we been at war now, Tex? 15 years in the Middle East with no end in sight, draining of resources, all the blood, and I think the worst is yet to come. That all grew out of 9/11 because we had to go and get the big, bad, non-existent terrorists. So that's huge, and it still hasn't fully played out. But definitely that was a blow. And it also empowered the government to do things that the people would never have accepted before, like these invasive frisking pat-downs at the airport and these naked scanners that they make the women pass through to, you know, see if they're carrying a bomb on a plane, the Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security. So it's the war and the emerging police state that are the direct consequence of the phony 9/11 terror attacks. And I've got a picture in the book there of the utterly despicable George Bush standing upon a pile of rubble next to a New York City firefighter, and he's got a bullhorn, and he's saying, you know, the people who did this, we're going to get them.
Yeah. Well, now, Osama bin Laden, you know, did he actually, first of all, I want to ask you, did Osama bin Laden, did he do it with 19 guys did he plan all this out of some cave? In Afghanistan, and second, was Osama bin Laden really killed by Obama, or is that just hocus pocus?
Oh, that's as fake as he could be. I mean, we stopped hearing about him after December of 2001. It is known that they were heavily bombing the area where he was. He stopped making statements and videos. I'm almost certain he was killed at that particular moment in time, 2001. So as far as the Obama killed Osama nonsense, you'll recall that happened right at the precise moment in time when Donald Trump was bringing heavy, heavy pressure to bear upon Obongo to release his birth certificate. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finally, he released the birth certificate, which we now know is a forgery. And then the very next day, out of nowhere, the entire press was diverted into this nonsense about the raid that killed Osama. And you have that picture of everybody sitting in a White House looking at a TV screen as it's happening. Remember that iconic?
Oh, what a hokey picture. That's totally fake.
Well, totally fake. Because you know what? That's when did the rest of us get to see what they were watching?
Yeah.
Come, we haven't seen that.
Well, you know, it's America is a land of mirages.
It's like Santa Claus or Easter Bunny stories. And people buy it. I'm just amazed.
They really do. Well, listen, you've got a great book here, and we've just covered the veneer of it. So much to this, and I hope people will get it. It's only $9, and add $5 shipping and handling for the book by M.S. King, Killing America. You can remember that, folks, real easy. A 100-year murder. You'll enjoy this. I promise you. You'll sit by your fireplace. If you don't have a fireplace, well, you'll still sit somewhere there. But you'll enjoy this book so much, and I highly recommend it. Well, Mr. King, thank you again for being my guest today.
Boy, the time flies when we talk, doesn't it, Tex?
Listen.
My pleasure.
We got to be on again because we only covered about 10, I think, today. And there's so much history here and so many wounds to America. But with your book, maybe we can get just a little bit better. I appreciate it so much. Okay, my friend.
God bless you, my friend.
Okay, well, that was Mike King. He's the author of Bad War. And, boy, that's a book that's, ooh. I mean, that's so bad that the all the Jews, I mean, they can't let that be read. But you can read it. Just write to us or phone us here. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and then this newest book, okay? This is Tex Mar. It's been great to be with you. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.